Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. A few weeks ago, I got a new sponsor, which you'll find out about in a moment. I emailed the audience. I said, does anyone have any experience working with, it's SEMrush. Does anyone have any experience working with SEMrush? I want to know how it works. This woman, Tavleen Kaur, sends me an email saying, yes, I do. I say, how? She sends me a video that she sends internally to her team explaining how to use SEMrush. This thing is so well presented, so organized, so clear, and just amazing that she's using this tool to grow her business. But to me, the more impressive part is how she's explaining it. So then I go to her website. It's called Build Woo Funnels. And I see, well, this makes sense. It's a way of creating these beautiful checkout pages and order bumps and one-click upsells, all these different things that you want to have a sales process that grows your sales. And of course, I click on the video to get a sense of who's this person. And she's got explainer videos explaining what her plugins do. Super short, very clear, incredibly persuasive. I start chatting with her via email and I say, can I interview you on Mixergy? And she says, sure. And I realized she's in India, which frankly, more and more of my audience, more and more of the people I interview are in India. I say, the hours are going to be nuts. How do I not make it nuts for you? She says, I'll find a way to make it work. So here she is, Tavleen Kaur. She is the co-founder of Build Woo Funnels. It's a sales funnel set of tools for WooCommerce. And what time is it where you are right now?
12:44 a.m.
Look at that, 12:44 a.m. You're not at home because?
I couldn't trust my internet at home.
I freaking love the hustle. I love the extra mile that you go through to make everything a little bit better than it could have been if you just showed up. All right, we're going to find out how she built this company thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. I actually don't even know if SEMrush bought an ad in this interview or not, but I'm just going to stick them in because it fits so well. Ditto, and I'll tell you guys why SEMrush. Actually, Tavleen, I'll ask her how she's using SEMrush to grow her traffic. And the second sponsor, again, I don't know if it fits, but since we're talking about WooCommerce, you can host WooCommerce sites on HostGator. I'm just going to do an ad for HostGator here, whether they paid for it or not. It just fits too well. But first, Tavleen, good to have you here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm absolutely honored. I'm literally like Mixergy was a dream, and this is dream come true.
I'm excited that you're here. Tell me, what's your revenue?
Well, I'm not supposed to reveal it. So I would just say we're working on, our solutions are working on about 7,200 stores. So that's the number I can give away.
7,200 stores and people can pay how?
So we have different licenses. Like you can have like a personal license, which is just for your one site license. And then you can have 5 site license. So you can have like an agency license. So yes, we have different formats and based on what your requirements are, like, you know, people choose to pay.
And it's all software as a service, ongoing revenue. You shared, I should say, with the audience. We talked about your numbers before, but I gave Tavleen my word that I would not reveal the number. It's very impressive. Before this, you were working at several companies around electric cars, including Mahindra. What's Mahindra and what were you doing there?
So Mahindra is actually very, it's a big conglomerate and it's a very big Indian company which kind of specializes in automobiles. They have an automobile division. At the time, they'd come out with an electric vehicle. So they'd acquired a really small electric vehicle company based out of Bangalore. It's just interesting. So I was actually at a press conference of this company. I was really, I just started to believe in electric vehicles and I thought that, you know, the revolution is coming and it's just going to change the way things work. And I was following Elon Musk, I was following Steve Jobs at that point. So yeah, 25-year-old girl, really, really happy about what was happening and how things were changing. And I really wanted to be part of that revolution. So I'd written like a little note and, I just got up in that press conference and I read out what I'd written. It was like really my belief in the technology. Mahindra and Mahindra's founder was so impressed that he just said, you know, you're hired. Things worked out and I just went to work in that company. And, you know, I went in with this really big mission that I'm going to make an impact. And, I'm going to be part of this company, which is changing things. But turns out that wasn't the case at all. The product wasn't great. The cheap plastics. The product wasn't really, really great. So what I realized was that my job was actually convincing people that they should buy electric just because it's important to go green and it's not the time to still go the conventional route of internal combustion engines and all of that. And, you know, it's a sustainable thing to do. It's a better thing to do. But really that desirability element was missing. So that's where I learned my first lesson in marketing as well. That you've got to evoke desire if you need to sell something.
And that the greater good, amorphous, this will be better for the world message is not nearly as powerful as I want this. It helps my life right now.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So that doesn't work.
You know, I think about that a lot, where there are a lot of companies who say people want to buy local to support local stores. They might say that, but in reality, if Amazon offers them 5% cheaper, 10 cents off of pickles, they'll go to Amazon, right? And have it delivered. And so when you're working there, when you're saying that you try to convince people to buy this car because it's for the betterment of the world and it is the future, how did you do this? Video somewhere else?
We were doing events, like, you know, we were sponsoring events like cricket matches and fashion shows and in smaller towns and all of that. And actually, I was going there and I was representing the company. I was talking to people, a lot of parents would actually come because their kids would pull them to the stall. Because the car looked cute, you know, and then they had like really cool colors like blue, red, yellow. So the colors were great. So the car would really look cool. So, you know, the children there, they would pull their parents and they would show a lot of interest. But again, like I said, you know, nobody would spend that much money unless they are they find it really desirable. And then there were issues like it was just a 2-door car. It was really small. And then, you know, kind of their first question was, okay, will I be able to take it to that temple, which is 200 kilometers away from my house? And I'd be like, no, it's, you know, what about the range? Like, you know, you understand how this works, right? So yeah, all those things. And we always get stuck in those conversations. So I also went once to conduct a training with all those people who were sitting in the call center and who were taking up questions like these on a daily basis. And they were struggling with the same thing because you couldn't convince people on the cost benefit. At the end of the day, you know, the battery was really expensive and then you had to replace it after a period of, let's say 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, the cost would, there wasn't any cost dynamics here. Like there was no cost benefit here. And then, so there were so many compromises they had to make. So they would never get convinced.
Meanwhile, your husband was working on Upwork. Doing what?
So he was actually running an agency himself, and he had a few people working with him for him. And he was taking up work from different agencies based in the US who would outsource him work to create websites. And his core specialties were WordPress and WooCommerce. And so that's where like he really started to build an expertise in WordPress and WooCommerce. He was kind of getting frustrated at his own end where he was like, okay, you know, for how long am I going to do this? And, he had almost hit a wall where he was like, okay, what's beyond this? Like what's next? Because he's very, I think he's got a very strong intuition. So he was like, this is not going to last for a very long time for sure. So yeah.
And at some point he said, you know what? I have an idea for a plugin. This could be the thing that transitions me away from doing client work to having software that sells, that I can sell and brings in ongoing revenue. What was the first plugin idea?
Yes. So, So he came to me and he said that, I'm going to create these 7 triggers for product pages that will basically make a product page more persuasive. And it will encourage people to, buy. And I thought maybe, you know, he's wanting me to write a blog post with 7 points. And so, but it turns out it was actually a product idea. He wanted to, you know, put together 7 triggers and he called it the sales triggers. And, he said, all right, why don't you, help me market this? So I just thought that's something, because on one hand, I was really kind of make a dent in this space of electric vehicles. And on the other end, here he was telling me to write something for product pages. There was no match. But, I thought, okay, it's let me just see what happens. I wasn't interested in it at all. But then I just thought, okay, let me pick this up and kind of see how it goes. So yeah, so that's what I did. I think the first thing that I did was I just created 7 different tutorial videos explaining every trigger and, you know, why they need it, what it would do, and, you know, triggers like what would putting a guarantee badge on your product page do, what would putting a bestseller in XYZ category do to your product page and to your sales. So I just started doing videos, started explaining all of this. I put together like a sales copy for a marketplace because we were going to sell it through a marketplace. We didn't think that we could build a website. It was called Canon. So Envato, yeah. So
an Envato marketplace.
Oh yeah, Envato, yeah.
So what he was thinking was, if we could put these little psychological triggers on pages that tell people this is the best seller in a category, or this is guaranteed, people are more likely to buy. And so if you could explain that to store owners, they would buy the software, try it on their sales pages, see if it increased sales. If it did, great. They'll keep on buying from you. If not, they could always remove it. And that was your job. And the reason he wanted you was you were an evangelist for an electric vehicle at a time, price point, and so many other reasons that it didn't make sense. And he said, if you're good at selling that, you're going to be able to do this. You also have a background in journalism. So he thought you could explain it. You guys launched it. How did it do? How did that first plugin do?
Oh, it really did well by our standards. I mean, considering that, you know, we had no experience. I wasn't even doing digital marketing. Like, I had zero experience in digital marketing. I know no ads. I'd never run ads. Never written a sales copy. I didn't know what that even means. Never sent an email beyond the professional emails, you know, that we send.
Wow.
So, so definitely was something very new. But yes, when the reviews started pouring in, like even we were kind of blown away by what we'd done. So revenues were like nothing close to what they are today. They were definitely very low. But what I really mean is that it gave us a lot of confidence because people started saying that, you know, oh, this is going to fly off your shelves. You know, this is exactly what I needed. Why doesn't WooCommerce have it? You know, so stuff like that. And we thought that was really encouraging, especially at that point in time when we were really looking for a way to kind of get out of what we were doing. So it really came in.
What were you selling
it
for? How much?
So it was $29.
One-time price.
Sorry?
$29 and one-time fee, not an ongoing.
Yes, it was a one-time price. Yeah, okay. That's right. And also, I think Envato did keep a cut on it.
Right. And that's how you got your customers, by being on the Envato marketplace.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And the reason that he knew that this would make sense is because he had just done so many WooCommerce sites. And I guess we should explain. Yeah. WooCommerce is a way of building a store on a WordPress site. WordPress free, WooCommerce free, right? But I find that in many ways WooCommerce is lacking. And so you found one hole in the system, and he knew that this was missing and that this would work because of his experience building WooCommerce sites for others. You built it, it starts to sell. What's the next thing that you guys do then?
So definitely, I think you're right in pointing out. So he did have a lot of experience in building WooCommerce sites for clients, and that did give him the edge. So technically there was this competence within the team to be able to build something like this. And he kind of knew that this is going to fly off. It's going to work. Like, there is a need for it. At least that was there. So after that, we created another plugin, which is called Finale, so we still sell Finale. It helps you put sales countdown timer on your WooCommerce website and create a deals page where you can list all the deals that you have currently going on in your store.
And how did that one sell? Also through the Envato marketplace, also one-time fee, is that right?
No, so that time we just decided to create our own website because obviously, it was very obvious that the marketplace was going to take a significant cut. So it was very important to create your own, create your own shop, start selling through your own website, so you do not have to give a cut to anyone. So that became very clear to us. So my husband asked me this question: creating our own website, working your ass off to put that structure together, but it also means being able to drive traffic. So that's how I started kind of picking up the ropes. I started learning copywriting. I started learning ads, Facebook ads, all of that stuff. I started writing emails. I mean, I used to cringe at the thought of writing an email, but then I realized there is no escaping this. But finally, you know, we had something which we could call our own. So I think that there was a lot of high in that. So I thought, okay, let me pick up the courses. Let me just learn whatever is needed. And yeah.
Let me pause for a second. The nice thing about Envato is it's a marketplace. They're delivering customers to you. Once you move to your own site, how did you in the beginning get anyone to even notice that you existed? What were some of the techniques you used to bring people over before you took the courses, before you started learning how to do this right?
That's right. Yes. So there was one major driver of sales and traffic, which was WordPress.org. So what we did was, so let's say if we have 8 features, you know, we give 3 of them for free and we put it up on WordPress.org. So, and then we wrote like an SEO-friendly copy on WordPress.org. For anyone searching for WooCommerce sales countdown timer, could kind of land on that WordPress.org page. And then we would direct them to the main finale sales page. Like that's how the funnel really worked.
Got it. So freemium, they get the plugin for free. Discovery Correct. Comes in from the WordPress marketplace. And then there's an opportunity to get an upsell. That's great. And then you started teaching yourself how to do online marketing. What did you learn that was especially helpful? And we're talking about still the first version of your business, which was called Excel Plugins, right?
Yes.
So what did you learn that was especially helpful back then?
Oh, wow. Lots of things. I mean, I think the most important thing was really start with what emotion you really want to evoke in the person who's reading your copy or your blog or whatever. So what's that emotion which you really want that person to feel? You know, do you want them to feel excited? Do you want them to feel all fired up? And then, you know, you kind of have to sound like that. So, I think that was a big learning. So really doing that, thinking of it like an energy you've got to sort of fire, if you want to really fire them up so that they kind of click on the buy button, then you've got to sound like that. Your tone of voice needs to be like that as well.
How did you know first of all, I noticed some typos in the first version of your sales message, small things. I don't even think most people would notice it, but I do. At some point that went away. Did you start bringing in someone to help with grammar, someone to help with the text?
You're talking about Bill Who Founds?
I mean, the two of you, you personally, if you're in charge of the copy, at some point it was always clear. And then at some point it became more polished. How did you take it to that level?
No, it was always me.
It's just always you, just editing yourself, being harder on your work than you were before.
Yes. It's been me right from the beginning till now. Yeah. So
I thought maybe you went out and you brought in like I've talked to several agencies that will do this. You just submit your work to them. They give you feedback. They adjust it, but you're not even using any of them.
No, not until now. No.
Okay.
It's only going to be.
I saw that you then started adding, I guess, Next Move maybe is one of the next plugins. How did you know what to build after the first couple?
Okay. So what happened was that there were a lot of interactions that we were able to do with WooCommerce store owners after our first two products. And these were actually, a lot of one-on-one calls as well. Insights just started coming in. I mean, we really didn't have to start from a blank page, but we really began to understand what issues they were facing and what WooCommerce really didn't have and what they wanted and, stuff like that. So they started giving us the insights and we just had to work on them. And, we just had to kind of prioritize them and start working on them. Even they would actually even tell us, okay, we have a feature request. And then, they will tell us that this is...
You mean your clients would?
Yes, the customers,
This is the thing that stinks about WooCommerce. Can you fix this for me? I just need this one little thing. And then you'd start to see patterns. Is that right?
Yes, we'd start to see patterns, yes. So we really started to prioritize, what's important. What is it that more people are saying? So we just kept our ears and eyes open. And I think that really acted, in our favor. And we were very open to feedback, very open to insights, very open to, what our customers were saying, listening to them. That's how it just, one thing's connected to another and it just started to go on.
I'm reading your sales copy. It's making me smile. As I'm researching, as you're talking, I'm going back and researching what you're saying, and I'm reading some of it. Underneath the button for get next move for my store, next move is the thank you page after a sale, right?
Yes.
Why'd you call it next move?
Because it was okay. So the idea was that on the thank you page, you know, we don't want you to end the relationship over there. Like that should not be the dead end. You know, it should not be the conversion, the conversation stopper. You know, it should actually sort of start a new relationship. It should make people bounce back and kind of maybe buy again or recommend your store to other people or do a social share or something or the other, which we even recommended people to, you know, kind of put a video just like thanking them, maybe a minute video and really saying that, you know, thank you so much for taking the time and thank you so much for coming over to our store and making a purchase. It means a lot to us. So really making that personal connect with people.
I like that you even say, here's a coupon. Now this will expire very soon. Go buy something else or share it with someone else. But I like under the button that says, I get next move for my store. It says, click here to explore our wallet wooing pricing plans.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to come back and I want to understand how you went from individual plugins to then this suite, this collection that, that then became your bestseller, right? Build Woo Funnels is the big suite. That you grew into. But first, I'll talk about my first sponsor. It's HostGator. I tell people that HostGator is a great place to go host your WordPress site. Mixergy is hosted on HostGator. But when it comes to saying you can also add WooCommerce to HostGator, I get feedback from people saying, why not Shopify? So let me ask you this. Why WooCommerce over Shopify? What's the advantage?
Oh, wow. Great question. So, well, simply because WooCommerce is extremely flexible. You know, it is very, very flexible and it gives you a whole host of customization options. So there are, you know, there are our clients who are basically using WooCommerce because of the ease of use and the flexibility that you have here. You can use plugin for just about anything that you want. And, you know, it kind of lets you do lots of customizations to your stores. A lot of high-end store owners are actually using WooCommerce as well. Again, because of the amount of customization options that exist over
here. And you can customize more than you could with Shopify?
Yes, definitely.
Do you have an example of something? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So I was just saying that also in terms of pricing, WooCommerce is a lot more affordable than Shopify is. You know, because in Shopify, there are every app, like, you know, you've got to pay a monthly fees for it. Whereas that's not the case with WooCommerce and also Shopify itself, like the platform is also, because it's a SaaS platform, it's like more expensive than WooCommerce to own, run and maintain.
Yeah, WooCommerce with HostGator, you're talking about like under $5 a month to be able to host a store and
that's
experiment.
Right, yes.
Do you have an example of something you could do on WooCommerce that you can't do on Shopify? Of some flexibility, some addition?
Let me give you an example here. So, okay, I have a great example. So think about it. If you just talk about one-click upsells, you know, Shopify also allows you to do one-click upsells. There's an app that allows you to do one-click upsells. And even in WooCommerce, you can do one-click upsells using, let's say, Upstroke. So, you know, you're using Upstroke. Now, in Upstroke, we've given a deep compatibility or integration with Elementor. And Elementor is a WordPress page builder. So you can make your upsell page look exactly how you want. You know, you've got these customizable widgets. You know, you can put whatever you like on the page. You can make it look however you want, as professional as you want, as polished as you want, and so on. Because, and you know, Elementor is like a really popular page builder in WordPress. And it's got, I think, 5 million active installs. And it's super powerful, extremely easy to use because they've made it really beginner friendly. And what we've done is that we've put like 10 widgets inside of Elementor that allow you to customize your upsell pages. So that's the kind of, that's the kind of customization, that's the kind of flexibility which just doesn't exist in Shopify. So, you know, a lot of people who want to go beyond that stage of just being beginners and just, you know, kind of trying to sort of see if they can get some sales from their store. Those who've moved to some kind of serious level, they are the ones who actually come into WooCommerce and stick with it.
All right. If anyone out there is interested in trying this out, All you do is go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. When you go to /Mixergy, they'll give you the lowest price they have available. It's already super low, so they're just taking a few pennies off, frankly, to be honest with you guys. It gives me a benefit because you're signing up under my URL, and I appreciate you for doing it. But what you get is instant. I'm talking about, I remember seeing that big button to install WordPress. So I signed up, super easy payment plan. And then next page is press this button and you get WordPress. Press this button, you get WooCommerce. And now you're up and running with the store. If you're curious about how to set it up, this is an easy way to get started, an easy way to play around. And then if you decide that you want to close it, no big deal. They've got a money back guarantee. If you decide that you don't like HostGator, no big deal. You can just transfer it over to any other hosting company that you want. And if you decide you love it and you want to grow with it, you've got so many different plugins, so many different tools that will enable you to make your store more powerful. If you haven't done this yet and you're looking for something to play around with, this is your chance to do it. Even while you're watching Netflix, keep it on one corner of your laptop and then go to hostgator.com/Mixergy and play around and install it. And when you're ready to really kick your sales into high gear, check out Build Woo Funnels. That, which is what Tevlin created. I think once you see their website, you'll see how beautiful it is. It's one of the many options that you have for making your store your own if you host it with HostGator. Inexpensive, very flexible. Go to hostgator.com/Mixergy, M-I-X-E-R-G-Y, to get that deal. All right. At what point did you say, all right, we can go bigger than individual products. We can do this big suite.
Oh, wow. I think it was never, you know, I don't think it happened like that. It wasn't ever like, okay, we're going to go big with this. It was like, okay, what's the next problem that we can solve? Because, you know, we were always thinking about what's the next thing that we can do for people who are already trusting us so much. So I think that's where that drive really came from. And then one-click upsells is something that, that we discovered accidentally, and turns out that at that time there was just one other company which was actually selling a solution, one-click upsell solution for WooCommerce, and that really wasn't a complete solution. There were many features which weren't there. That's what really happened. So it wasn't really a complete solution. It wasn't offering everything that a person needed in order to be able to one-click upsell on their WooCommerce store. And that's where this idea came from that, you know, why not create a competitor for this product, and why not create a one-click upsell solution which has all the features that we're thinking of, which can work on a WooCommerce website.
So it started with the idea that we need one-click upsell. And then, well, if we're going to do it, let's add these features and this feature. And then before you knew it, you ended up with Build Woo Funnels.
Yeah. So one-click upsell was definitely our first product. Now, let me just, explain you how things work. So I'm sure you've probably done one-click buy on Amazon. I mean, it's something that I'm personally really addicted to. I never, go through the conventional checkout process. It's always the one-click buy. And sometimes I like to swipe to buy. And, you know, it's kind of really addictive. And it just makes you come back to the store again and again. And also there was this really interesting thing in the physical world, in the real world, which actually Disney came up with to increase their average order value. And they call it like magic flash bands. So it's like you kind of wear those bands when you go to Disneyland, and whatever you want, you just flash a band and your payment gets deducted. That's it. With just one flash, one flash of the wrist and the payment is... And that really helped them increase their average order value just because of the ease involved. You know, people could pay with a lot of ease, and it was really convenient to make a purchase. And that is exactly what, one-click upsell is in the online world. It's that Disney magic flash band. You know, so you just flash a band and then you make a purchase. And that whole pain of parting with money and the whole pain of like kind of typing your credit card details all over again is just gone. You know, so your card
gets gone because we just did it. The way that I see one-click upsells, and when I see it done well, it's just so convenient, so helpful. It's exactly. You buy something, like you go to Harry's, you buy some razors, and then at the end, I think after you pay, they say, we'll give you a mystery box. We promise it'll be worth more than the $5 that you're going to pay. Well, I just put in my credit card. I don't have to do anything. I just have to hit this one button, $5 more. Great. Let's just see what happens. You hit the button. That's what we're talking about, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
And yes. So, you know, like creating personalized pages, like creating pages which say, hey, Andrew, you know, you just bought razors. Would you also
right, like because you've got my name from before and it feels yes. like it's more unique to what I just bought. Andrew, because you bought this, you can also get that with one click upsell. Do you have a sense of what percentage of people take these upsells? I'm going to guess, don't even tell me. I'm going to guess it's at least 25%.
Yes, it is more than that.
It's more than that.
Yes. Yes.
Which is so, phenomenal.
Exactly. I mean, it just completely changes your game. You know, the amount of money that you spend on advertising and then bringing that customer over, and then, you know, they just check out with a minimal order spend. That's not done. I mean, here you have an opportunity to maximize their order value. So, you know, just by putting like really strategic one-click upsells. And it's not that you're being annoying. It's not that, you know, you're pitching them something they don't need. It's really, really strategic. It's aligned with what they've just bought. And, you know, one of our clients, it's really interesting. So he sells like skincare products.
Yep.
And he says that whatever product he's advertising, a person just comes in the store and buys that one product and checks out and then he's gone. He's a one and done buyer, you know, just bought it once and then he's lost. He never even explores the other products that he has in his store. So he looks at one-click upsells as just as an opportunity to introduce them to the other product that he's selling.
Yeah, right, yeah. right. We go in to buy this one thing. That's all we're thinking of. We almost have blinders on until we get the thing.
Yes.
And then to be told, well, you know, we also have this other stuff. I see that a lot with masks. We've been buying tons of masks for my kids because you can't get them into schools without masks. And they're very finicky about what's on their mask. You got to get them to do it and feel comfortable. Right. So you go to these stores, all you're looking at is, I just need the freaking mask. The kid likes a mask with the dinosaur. Let's go and then move on. And I don't need another mask from the store again. You're saying that's an opportunity for them to say, by the way, we make a lot of other clothes for kids that you might like. By the way, if you think this is fun, here's our shirts or our socks or whatever else they make that's also fun, right? So it's an opportunity to say, you got what you needed, pressure's off. Now just notice that we sell other things. Even if you don't buy now, you might buy later because you recognize us for this.
Exactly. Yes. And again, it's again, I'm going to go back to the Disney example because I love it so much. But yes, you know, so if you'd have probably experienced this as well. So you buy the tickets and then you go in, you take a ride, maybe a Toy Story ride or whatever. And then they kind of, they don't just send you out. Like they don't just open the doors and send you out. They actually funnel you in into the souvenir shop or something where you can buy more stuff related to the character that you just saw. And the whole idea is that there's a perfect alignment. You know, they're not going to show you Mickey Mouse and all. They'll show you Toy Story souvenirs and some figures and all of that, you know, that you can buy. And it just becomes like a really obvious extension of what you just saw. And yeah, a lot of people end up converting just because of the whole, you know, you're already, you're convinced that you love that character. You're convinced that, yeah, that's something which fascinated you. And then the next obvious thing is to buy more stuff.
Okay, so I know that as somebody who's been looking at software for e-commerce for years, it was shockingly missing. The one-click upsell was shockingly missing from all platforms. You recognized it, you jumped in. The leap though from, did you start off by selling just that? Because to me, the leap from that to here's the all-in-one solution, I find order bumps to be less obvious, but wow, is it amazing as someone who sold. But how do you take the, do you first launch the upsell and then go in and fill in with more? You did.
Yes. So we did launch the one-click upsell first and then it was the checkout and checkout came with bump basically because the bump is on the checkout page. And again, yes, bumps are insanely effective as well.
Can you describe what those are? I feel like it took me years to understand what it was. It wasn't until I got into ClickFunnels that I realized, oh, wait, this is amazing. Tell people what that is.
An order bump?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's basically an offer on the checkout page. And the idea is, let's say you're buying a book, a physical version of the book, and then the order bump says, hey, would you like an audio version of the same book? And then you kind of say, you know, yes, and you check the box, and that audio version of the book gets added to your order, and your order total is updated, and that sweet little thing is yours now, and you can check out with a higher order value, which is great for the store owner, and also good for you because you've got the audio version now, which you can have instant access to. Just plug your earphones and start listening. So it's kind of a win-win situation. And the best bumps are actually win-win. It has to add value to the main purchase that the customer is making. And I was recently talking to one of our clients who actually runs an agency, and for his client, he implemented Order Bump. And he said that it had like a 60% take-up rate. So 60% of people who were checking out were actually just adding that order bump to their order. So it was, and I also want to really talk about, another customer who actually sells, so she sells courses on how to do cooking, like how to cook your food, like the traditional cooking. And so it was really interesting. So she was selling the $0 order bump, which was actually a free trial offer to her membership site. And so you just add it and you're like, oh, this is just $0, right? So you just add it. But it's actually a 14-day trial. And after that, you do get billed for that for that offer, right? And so she told us that she had a lot more members signing up for the membership and staying in. Even her retention rates are pretty kick-ass, because of the order bump over there. So a lot of people got familiar with her membership offer, which they otherwise wouldn't have had the order bump not been there. So that's the value that it adds.
The upsell is on the confirmation page. Your sale is over and they say, now that you're done, you can get this. The order bump is on the page with the credit card, just a little checkbox that says, do you want this? It's unchecked. People check it and then they get it. By the way, how do you guys tie in with people's membership so that you can charge an ongoing fee? How do you do that?
Yes, perfect. So that's why I was, talking about the customization and the flexibility. So this is the right time for me to really explain this. So WooCommerce has a plugin, which is their official WooCommerce subscriptions plugin and WooCommerce membership plugin. So what we've done is that we provide like a deep compatibility with it, allows you to upsell, offer subscription-based products as an order bump. Even with variable products, we're like deeply compatible. So let's say if you want to upsell a t-shirt or maybe a zipper, and you want them to be able to choose whether they want the small, medium, or large size. So you can, offer that option. They can choose the right variant for themselves. So same goes for subscription. So since we have a deep compatibility there, you can upsell subscription-based products as your order bump.
That's a beautiful thing about just using the tools within WordPress, WooCommerce, both owned by the same company. It's that they start to tie in well together and connect. And I can see how one would lead to the other. All right. And so you had the order bump, the one-click upsell, and then at some point you realize, you know what? We have the whole funnel, right?
Yes. Yes.
And that's when, go ahead.
So these are all different products which actually make up a funnel. When it comes to one-click upsells, so earlier what we had was, it wasn't a very flexible solution. So in the sense that you had an upsell, and then to every upsell there was a downsell, and then there was another upsell, and so on. So then what we did was, okay, let's break the ties. We introduced something called dynamic upsell paths, wherein you can actually make connections between different offers. So let's say, you bought something and now we made an upsell. If you said yes, we could send you to a different funnel. And if you said no, we could send you to a completely different funnel. So, that has its own branches. So it's become like a tree now. So it's really, it's an infinite funnel. You can go for as long as you want, until your client is saying yes. You can keep on introducing them to more products. And if they're consistently saying no, you can just terminate the funnel at any point and then send them to the thank you page.
Got it. And so it seems like what you're saying is, we started out with this one thing that we knew people needed, which is upsells. But then there's so many other pieces that connected in that we finally turned it into a funnel system. And that's when we launched Build Woo Funnels. And that became a product that has all these features in it. Am I right?
So actually, I would say that Build Woo Funnels sells different, different plugins. So all of these are still different solutions. They're not together. I'm not selling you like a complete pack. You can have different solutions. So if let's say if it were a makeup kit, then you could have the foundation separately, and you could have the lip color separately. So it's like that. So these are different tools.
Okay. I see it now. Yeah. I see it now. So Arrow is your checkout page, which just looks really nice. And when someone types in their address, you use Google to automatically get their proper address so they don't have to type in everything. Right. Google starts to fill in. But I could buy just that checkout page, just that design, and nothing else. if I want the upsell, I could buy that. It's still a la carte. It's just that with Build Woo Funnels, it fits so well together that in my mind, I keep imagining it all as one tool, but it's not. I could buy just whichever ones I want, or I can buy them all and have them work together.
Yes, because the idea was, even though one-click upsells are great, it turns out not everyone would want to, would want to do it. So that's fine. So if you only want to kind of replace your default WooCommerce checkout page with a better looking checkout page, with a more conversion focused checkout page, that's all right too. So, we'll give you just the checkout page solution. So we didn't want to really tie them in and kind of, pay for the one-click upsell as well in case they don't need it.
Let me see, do you guys use a one-click upsell on your page? You kind of do. It looks like I just clicked on Arrow Basic. That's $79 a year. That's your landing page. That's your checkout page. But then right underneath it, there's a checkbox that says, well, you could upgrade to Pro for just $20 more. Or you can upgrade to business for an additional $20 beyond that,
yes,
right?
And here's the hack. If you actually sort of click on the buy button for the highest plan, you wouldn't see the lower two.
Ah, that's great, right? So you don't try to downsell me on that. Got it.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Let me take a moment to talk about my second sponsor, and then we'll come back and understand a little bit more about your marketing. My second sponsor actually is SEMrush. How are you using SEMrush?
Oh, wow. I started using them, pretty recently. It's been about a few months now. And I'm kind of really blown away. And I'm like, why did I actually find them earlier? So I was using a really basic keyword research tool prior to this, but SEMrush is definitely a game changer. And one of the features that I'm particularly enjoying is the SEO content template, where you can just key in a keyword and then it kind of gives you, all the related keywords that you need to have on your in your post. And also the possible places from where you should get backlinks in order to make your post more SEO friendly. So that's what I'm really enjoying about it. And, I can assure you, like, if you take any of your blog posts and whatever keyword that you're targeting with that blog post, if you just put into the SEO content template and then you get all those related keywords and just use them in your blog post, and increase the frequency. Maybe try to use every keyword at least once. If you can use more than once, then even better. And I can assure you, your rankings will improve. Like, there, you will see a bump in your rankings, because I've done it, and I'm speaking out of experience. It happens. Like, rankings bump up.
So you put in a keyword, and it suggests related keywords that you should also include in your article. And then it says, here's a list of sites that you should be asking for links to this article that you create. And then you can go in and decide which one is a fit, and you can write a custom message to each one asking for a link. But how do you know which keyword to start with? Does it tell you that too?
So there is something called keyword overview. I mean, you need to really come up with some basic keyword something.
Meaning for yourself, you might decide... You might think, we need is one-click upsell, or what is it?
Yeah, so I was just saying WooCommerce checkout, but yes, one-click upsell.
Got it. So you might say, we want one-click upsell, or what was that tool that you were talking about earlier, the one that makes creating pages easy on WordPress?
Elementor?
Yeah, Elementor. So you might say, Elementor one-click upsell, in case someone's looking for the combination, you type in those keywords, and then they give you other keywords that you should consider because people are looking for those keywords too.
Yes. And it also tells you like the keyword search volume in the US and also the global volume.
Okay.
So that helps you understand whether, you should be going after that keyword, or will it be a complete waste of your time and energy? Because if it has like 10, 20, searches per month, then it doesn't make sense to go after it. And then it also gives you a keyword difficulty. So I usually go after keywords which have like a difficulty of about 30 to 40, because that's like a good score. Like if it's very difficult, if it's like, it's out of 100. So if it's like the score is maybe 70, 80, then no way, it's 20. You
too competitive,
can't.
Like, don't even bother.
Really high. Yeah, just don't go after it. You'll waste your time, effort, and energy. Doesn't make sense. So 30, 40 is like a good score. So it gives you the keyword difficulty score. And then like Sorry for the dogs. Yeah, so there's some sound in the background.
That's okay.
Yeah, so
that's
I don't. Okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. So yeah, so you can just based on that you can make your decisions whether you want to go after that keyword or not. And if you do, then just key in that keyword in the SEO content template, and then yeah, do the other stuff and yeah, do your magic.
And that's what you showed me. You created a video for your team. For is it a who's on? Well, we'll get into who's on your team in a moment. That's what you said. You said, look, if we're going to create this article, let's be intentional about it. And then you said all you have to do is plug in this. These keywords in, notice how the other keywords pop up. Now start thinking of ways to include it. And then I remember you even said, this is a no-brainer for us because we have this feature that people are asking for that's the keyword. And if you look at the competitors, they don't have this feature that we have.
Yes.
We might as well include it and make sure that we let people know. Yeah. That's the video that I saw that you made. All right.
Yeah.
For anyone out there who wants to try this, I'm going to give you a gift. I mean, really, 100% free use of this right now. All you have to do is go to mixergy.com/SEMrush, SEMRUSH. They're not even going to take your credit card. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to say, tell us who you are so we know if you're a customer, we can't give this to you. If you're not a customer, you get instant access to all of this. Try everything you just found out right now from Tavleen. See if it works for you. If you like it, then at that point, you can make the buying decision. You can put your credit card, et cetera. If you don't like it, you just move on. You cancel. But it's super easy and I think it's easier to understand once you use it. And we just talked about search engine optimization. They also do other content related support. They also will help you with social media. So if you're saying, you know what, I'm not an SEO person, I just want to find a way to grow organically, they've got all the tools that you need to do that. And again, all you have to do is go to mixergy.com/SEMrush, mixergy.com/SEMrush. We're doing this temporarily. We don't even have a URL on their page because I just wanted to quickly test it. But at some point, we're going to get rid of that. We're going to add a credit card. We're going to add the whole thing. But for now, we want to get started fast. And so anyone who's listening, you get an advantage over people who are going to come in later. That's mixergy.com/SEMrush right now. What did you get into this, Tavleen? You're a person who said, I didn't even like to send out marketing email. I would just send it to my coworkers. What got you on this path of saying, I'm going to be a marketer for our business. I'm going to be the driving force behind sales.
Wow. Actually, yeah. So when I really got started in this, I was just doing it because, I was there in that space, really trying to make an impact. And I really went in thinking that I'm going to make an impact. But since none of that was happening, it ended up being a really meaningless job. So then I thought, okay, well, something's better than nothing. I never came here to make an impact. I never came here with all those big ambitions. I was like, okay, let's just see what happens. And, I think the attitude really was, okay, let's just see what happens, So it really never was that I have some high expectations from myself and, I'm going to see, I'm going to take it to the next level. Yeah, those ambitions really weren't there. But yes, when I actually started hearing stories from our clients, it literally started working on my mindset. So when I really started talking to our customers who were using our products, and then they started saying, we're really amazed by what it is doing to our business. And, it's really been a game changer and all of those good things. And I started getting on video calls with them. And when I saw that joy in their eyes and I saw that confidence in their eyes, and I saw the fact that they were really hunting for solutions before finding us. That's when I realized, okay, we're actually doing something meaningful, and this is really helping people. And that's how my mind really started shifting. And then I started reading more about it.
Let's go into the marketing techniques that you use. The first one was go into a marketplace that does the selling for you. The second one was go to a marketplace that gives your software away for free, and then you got good at upselling yourself. What's next? What did you do after that to grow?
After that, BuildWooFunnels doesn't have anything on WordPress.org. Yes, we do have something on WordPress.org, which is Autonomy, which is a very recent addition that we have to our suite. It's a marketing automation plugin. But otherwise, when we started with the one-click upsells and then with checkout and all of that, we never had anything on WordPress. So I think it was mainly SEO, the copy has to sell, the page has to be SEO friendly, the blog should drive some traffic, the YouTube videos should help people, should solve people's problem, and they should kind of take them to our pages. So I think then it was pretty simple. So yeah, that's what needs to be done.
I'm surprised that you're saying SEO became the next marketing channel for you. I would have thought that it would feel too intimidating, too competitive. There are people who are so black hatty. There are people who are so focused on it that this is what they blog about. This is what they tweet about. This is what they go to bed sleeping about and wake up in the morning coming up with ideas for. Why did you decide I'm wading into that world instead of something else?
Because there was no other way. There was literally no other way.
What about buying ads? What about more free plugins or... I don't know.
Buying ads, we did lose a lot of money on Google Ads.
You did try it. What happened there?
I don't know. It was just turning out to be really expensive, and we were losing a lot of money on ads. But yes, I wouldn't really write off Google Ads completely. I mean, it's something that one can definitely try. It's something that we also do on a one-off basis. Not very regular with it, but yes, we do it. Paid ads is definitely, yes, it's one way to go about it. But I would also like to tell you that we tried paid ads with Facebook, and that didn't work for us at all because let's say if you're selling makeup products, then, you know, you can target just about everyone in your country who's a woman in an age bracket of, let's say, 18 to 35, whatever. But when it comes to like WooCommerce store owners, really like helping, because nobody really writes on their Facebook page that I'm a WooCommerce store owner, because that's just the technology that they're using. So, helping, I actually had a lot of calls with Facebook as well. You know, like I really got on calls and I said, you know, how do I identify that market? Like, how do I pinpoint and stop losing money on it? And how do I really reach the right people? And I don't think they had any solution as well. So I think because it's a subset, so reaching out to them, to the right people, that was really the hardest part to crack. Okay. So that's why retargeting ads is what we do. That's the major thing that we do. But cold audience, that's just a bad idea.
What about then? So you tried that. Did you buy Google Ads? Did those work for you?
Well, maybe to an extent, like in the beginning, a little bit. But it was still more of organic the page itself, it started ranking on the main keyword, which is WooCommerce One Click Upsells. So again, same goes for Arrow Checkout. I mean, WooCommerce Checkout is a very competitive keyword, but some form or the other of that keyword, maybe a long phrase keyword, that started ranking. Then WooCommerce One Page Checkout. Some of the articles over there. So it was more like, the organic and a combination of organic and retargeting ads.
What about YouTube? I've been watching you on YouTube. You do these good explanation videos. Some of them have a lot of views. Some of them have like hundreds. I think you have one that has 29,000 views that's spot on for Finale, right?
That's right.
And then I see some that don't have a lot. Has YouTube paid off for you as a marketing channel?
I would say that, it's not the primary breadwinner for sure. And less views actually isn't discouraging, because that just means the software is so good that people are able to figure things out themselves. So the idea really is to supplement the software with a tutorial video so that they're able to understand how to really use it. I would say that, YouTube's algorithm is sort of behaves in a way that it rewards consistency. So yeah, if you can like really put out content, twice or thrice a week, and you also need to, it just doesn't have to be around your products. It also has to be like broader in the broader sense. So I think, if you can go that route, it's definitely a good way to go about it. I think YouTube has definitely helped us become more discoverable, and it has also helped people who are using our products kind of raise less support tickets, because they're able to watch the video and figure out how to do it by themselves. And then they do not have to kind of reach out to the support to ask specific questions. So right, that's how we see it.
Let's close it out then with India. I'm noticing more and more of the entrepreneurs I'm pursuing, of the entrepreneurs I'm chatting with on Twitter, they're creating SaaS companies like yours from India, I don't want to say that there's a revolution because this is what I'm recognizing, but boy, I'm noticing so many more SaaS companies coming from India, standalone companies, not backing up somebody else's business as their back office, not aspiring to do something small, but really doing the bootstrap thing that people in the SaaS world are admiring and pursuing. And it's coming more and more from India. And I recognize it only because when it's time for me to schedule an interview, I have to like be aware of the time zone. What's going on?
Well, that's interesting. So I would definitely agree that in India, you know, the whole startup scene is definitely on the rise. And I think people have just become more enterprising. You know, like I was just telling you that it's also the media which is glorifying the startups and, you know, how the kind of investment they're raising. And there's a lot of interest from investors as well in the Indian ecosystem, the startup ecosystem. And I think which is leading a lot of people to kind of experiment and come out with that idea of theirs and build a product around it and start to market it. And also we're a country with large population. So that also kind of, you know, plays a role. So yeah, I mean, if you're talking about SaaS, not there, but if you're talking about you know, direct to consumer brands, then definitely over there, you know, we do have some sites that are doing extremely well just because of the mass that's available here like to sell to.
I guess all I'm seeing is the SaaS companies, software companies that are coming on strong. What often the numbers that they tell me in private are just shocking for bootstrap, sometimes one person operation with, you know, like no co-founder, unlike you and your husband, just one person, and then get support wherever they need it. I'm looking at this one guy right now that I've been pursuing on Twitter, and we're just trying to make the hours work, largely because I'm still working from home. And I'm up until a few days ago, we've just been homeschooling. But, you know, let me take a moment and tell you how we solved the homeschooling issue. We did a micro school, you know, where we found three other kids who are my kids' age. And instead of my kid doing Zoom home with his teacher by himself here with me watching and giving feedback and helping, and we just hired a teacher, like a real teacher who was working at the San Francisco school system at one of the charter schools. We hired her. She's working in someone's backyard. And all I have to do is drop my son off and he's there with a small group of kids. When they're done doing their Zoom, she's there to help. When they're done with her help and Zoom, they're going into the park, which is not too far away from the house. They're just walking over and playing. It's just, I think it's going to be game changer. I'm finally going to have time again.
Yes, that's really good. So my child is turning two. That's not an age where you can have fun.
No. What are you guys doing? Are you able to take your child out?
No. So we live with, we live in a joint setup. So, my parents, my husband's parents also live with us. So, you know, they help us really take care of the baby. And even right now, like now I'm here, so they're taking care of the baby. Yeah, so that's how it works. But I'm definitely not able to take him out anywhere. Because
are you guys in lockdown?
We're not in lockdown for sure, but I think there is a lot of fear around this whole thing. And also in India, the cases are rising. So, I think there's this general anxiety around this whole corona thing. Yeah. So I think that's why it's just wise to maybe wait for a few more months and see how it goes, though I'm not sure if it's going to improve unless a vaccination comes in, which I don't know how it's going to come, and then the implementation and all of that. So, yeah.
That's a big question. I'm trying to think long term. What's the long haul solution? Thankfully, the benefit of being in San Francisco and in California in general is there are all these beaches. I don't know if I never noticed it before I got to California, to San Francisco. There's a huge coast here. And it's not the most beautiful coast ever, but at least it's a coast. And if you just go out somewhere where there's nobody there, you've got your own little space. Except, Tavli, now we've got freaking fires. So now you can't even go you can't even go outside your house. There are fires. I at least during lockdown, since I can't travel as much as I could before, I would go into the backyard, I'd set up my tent, I'd set up a little fire, I'd read on my Kindle, I'd have my own space. Now I can't do that because the fires from a little north of us, a little south of us are just so terrible.
Oh no, wow. Oof. Global warming.
But at
least,
that's
why I wanted to sell electric cars.
I know, right? But, yeah. At least though, we solved the kid issue. All right, so you're starting to give me a sense of what's going on. And one of the things that you said in India is there is this structure that I feel San Francisco had and the US had after that in general of here are the people who are making it. Let's learn them. Let's let's respect and in some ways let's, I think, idolize and worship them. I think maybe that's too much, but that's the way I grew up, right? With a sense of hero worship form. I feel like there are people who are going to be listening to you and going, this is what I aspire to. She's opening me up to a set of ideas and a set of possibilities that I didn't know were available to me before. What are some of these sites that I can go take a look at to see where India is talking about Indian entrepreneurship and starting to evangelize it?
There's a site called Your Story.
Your Story? Is it yourstory.com?
Yes, yourstory.com.
What else?
There is one really popular site. I'm kind of really forgetting its name. Is it InShorts? Oh, I'm not sure.
Are you on Indie Hacker?
No, I'm not
the community. Hacker. No, you're not there. Is there a community you're into? I feel like you're a good marketer. You're good at telling your story. Is there a community that you're a part of? Are you in a Facebook group for you yourself when you want to get help, when you want to get feedback? Is there some place that you go?
Oh, but none of them actually come from India. So I really follow Copy Hackers. I follow the blog.
She's good.
Yeah, she's really good. Really Amy Gorefield, I learn a lot from her. I listen to her podcast as well. Then Bushra Azhar, you've had her on the show as well. So yeah, I really follow a lot of what she does. So those are the people that I'm following. None from India, really. But yeah.
All right. Congratulations on your success. I think one of the most striking parts of your site is just how beautiful it is and how well it works. I'm going to recommend anyone who wants to go check out the site or check out your business to go check out buildwoofunnels.com. And of course, I want to thank the two sponsors who made this interview happen. The first, if you need a hosted solution for WordPress, for WooCommerce, you want to get started, go to hostgator.com/mixergy. And the second, you've seen how much you could build your audience, build your business if you get traffic coming over to your site, and it can be much easier than you imagined if you go to mixergy.com/SEMrush. mixergy.com/SEMrush will redirect you and give you that whole code. All right, Evelyn, thanks so much for being on here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed being here, and thank you so much for listening to me. I was like, we're still on that journey. So it's just good to be recognized at this point in time. It's just beautiful. It's a great feeling.
If only you would have allowed me to reveal your numbers, I think we would have blown people away. But I think the story was strong. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you all.